From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
What's a slee stack?
Winchester Cathedral. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Tonight, it is Tuesday, August 2nd, 2011.
And this is show 116.
And boy, are our arms tired.
Well put, sir.
Yeah. So we have returned from the great Rootstock San Diego Comic-Conning. I don't know about you, but everything is sort of moshed into one wonderful, tasty Mr. Creosote bucket of yum.
That's one way of describing it, but yes, I'm in the same boat. It's been over a week, and I'm still really not quite recovered.
You know what it feels like to me now?
What's that?
This whole con thing. I feel like we're doing it right, you know? I don't know if it's that we've figured it out or we've just been traveling in these circles long enough.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, remember during like high school or even junior high, if you were in band or a choir or sports team, whatever, that you would go on some road trip that was a weekend trip, maybe a whole week.
Yep.
And it may have been all the same people that you hang out with every day. But when you're on that trip, it's just like monkey sunshine fun time.
I thought you were going to say monkey soup, which for some reason I found strangely apropos.
You know what? It is monkey soup. I think that describes it best.
Nah, and that's also a front runner for the title of this episode. Not even trying for it. That's the key.
Huh. No, not at all. Those are the best ones.
Yeah.
We can always sniff out the fakes. But yeah, Woodstock itself, it's incredible when things go off without a hitch, but then there are other things that happen that could hitch as well, but are just awesome.
Yep. It was, it's funny because people were asking about it later, and in describing it, it seemed odd to describe anything that was 4 hours long as tight.
Yep.
But it genuinely, on our end at least, felt like a tight 4 hours. It was like 4 hours and 5 minutes, and it felt like just the right length. And everybody who took part was as awesome as could have been hoped, and more so.
And now that it's over, we can tell you what the surprises were.
They'll be slightly less surprising now, I expect.
A little bit. There was not a short of awesome moment during all of Woodstock, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
But what really stole the show for me was Amy Berg.
Yes, the co-executive producer and I think head writer for the show Eureka on Sci-Fi.
And beyond what she did at Woodstock, it was just such a pleasure to meet her. She's one of these, of course, I've been friends with you my whole life, even though we've just met in person.
Yep, it was absolutely one of those sister from another mother kind of things. That's not really a catchy phrase, but for those who, the video of her thing is on the YouTubes at this point, but for those who didn't see it, the short version is she started giving a talk about writing and very quickly got interrupted by Will Wheaton and super surprise Felicia Day, who basically weren't buying it, telling her that she wasn't really selling it properly. One thing leading to another, she basically pulled out a laptop and started rewriting the bit as it was happening.
And
go ahead.
And then it gets crazy. So don't want to spoil all of the joy, but we may as well spoil the big surprise in that it ends up with a pile of bodies on the stage.
Yeah, most of the cast of Woodstock was dead at the end of her presentation by her hand.
Yeah, so seek that out. I don't think it... The video doesn't capture the full glory of it, but it's pretty entertaining.
But until we perfect the what was that movie with Christopher Walken and Natalie Wood? Brainstorm. Until we perfect those brainstorm thingies you put on your head that let you experience exactly what somebody else experienced machines. Yeah. I don't think that was the name of them, but it's descriptive. Nothing will really truly capture the full glory of it.
Not quite at all. Other greatness. We had Ernie Klein, this great geek spoken word guy. I don't know how else to describe him.
Mm-hmm.
Who did a hysterical reading, as well as he dragged along with him a fantasy author, Patrick Rothfuss, who I always feel bad when I haven't seen or read or
yep.
done like everything of anyone that I ever meet, you know?
Yep, yep.
But honestly, that's how I discover a lot of cool stuff, is by meeting the people. It's like, oh, wow, now that I know who you are, I want to read this. And he wasn't at Woodstock, but meeting Christopher Moore was really neat too.
Yeah, that was a particular highlight for me. Also, the fact that he was super cool and nice was a bonus. Even if he'd been an asshole, I still would have thought it would have been cool to have met Christopher Moore. Uh-oh, Storm's got an email or a text.
Yep. It's not you, I'm guessing.
Somebody didn't silence his phone before the movie started.
Well, this is about being real. This isn't some, I'm going to sit here and edit this kind of podcast. No, this is real life.
You're showing everyone where the seams are.
Yeah, it's it's real. And that's what at the end of the day, people want is something real. If yep. you're getting ice cream, you don't want a picture of ice cream. You want real ice cream.
It's true.
We're giving you real ice cream.
We're giving you real melted ice cream.
And other than that, the Woodstock highlights, we got to see plenty of panels. The surprise bonus panel, which was sort of an accident, a serendipitous one, we got the closest yet to Joss Whedon.
Yes, he still hasn't noticed us nope. yet to date, but we were, at this point, I think we've been about 40 yards from Joss Whedon.
He probably saw us, even if he didn't register us.
Yeah, he could sense our auras. Or a combined singular aura.
Yeah. And I guess that's about all the gushing we could really do. We can go
yeah,
on
it was just,
year.
It was a great weekend of hanging out with old friends and new friends and everything we could have asked for. It was like summer camp without the crafts.
Yeah, but with some crafts, if you consider
just with
cosplay.
Like the, yeah, with like the good stuff, like archery.
Right, not like macrame.
Yeah, oh, screw that.
Yeah. Oh, come sit in the shade and we'll eat two-day-old donuts and do macrame. Sorry, that memory just popped into my head.
Was that an actual memory or manufactured memory?
A little of both.
Did you? I know you did the whole sleepaway camp thing when you were younger, right?
I did. There was a period of time, I guess I was maybe from 11 to 13 years old for like 3 summers.
Yeah, I think every Jewish or half-Jewish child goes through that, certainly in the northeastern U.S.
Yeah.
Seems to be a rite of passage.
It was a distinctly unpleasant thing for me. the first time it was for 4 weeks, which I was done after a day, and I didn't get happy until about 2 days before I needed to leave. And then they said, oh, you should stay. You're happy now. And they didn't get that I was happy because I was leaving. I was a short timer.
Right.
But yeah, it was an odd thing to go to a Jewish camp. Even though I was raised Jewish, maybe there was a 6-month period where I was really into the Jewish thing when I was 7 years old or something, but it was never my primary identity.
Mm-hmm.
And to go to a camp that is this Jewish camp, although most of the other kids had the same mindset, it wasn't like the Orthodox camp where you, I don't know, wear a tallis all the time and everything is, you know, really mm-hmm. Jewish themed. It was just a camp. The kids happened to be Jewish.
You went to Fiddler on the Roof camp?
There was a Fiddler on the Roof at our camp.
Wow, there's always a Fiddler on the Roof.
And that was kind of charming. Like, you'd come in after a hard day playing in the fields or whatever the hell we did. And that was like the dinner bell. He would just be playing tradition. How do we get on this subject?
I don't know. We were finishing up about Comic-Con and Woodstock.
Oh, right. And we get to do it all again in a month from now or so.
Twice!
At PAX and at Dragon Con, and they're both going to be spectacularly awesome, especially PAX, for reasons we can't tell you. I don't think we can tell anybody.
I can't even think of what you're talking about, so it must really be secret. I'll remember it in a second.
You know what it is, the thing that we're doing with the other people.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, that thing. Yes, as far as I know, it has not been made public yet, so no.
Okay, and Dragon Con will be incredible as well, of course.
Yeah.
We are going to be doing all kinds of crazy stuff while we're there, and we'll post a schedule when we get to that. I have a couple of recommends.
Sure. I have one, too.
Sure. Let's see. I'll do one, then, if you have one.
Go right ahead.
That way it's a donut.
Yep.
Well, not a donut. A sand nut. It's a sand nut. Okay.
Ew.
The first one is The Pixar Touch, the book. It is a telling of Pixar, how it came to be, and its story. I'm only about a third of the way through.
Uh-huh.
But it's not only fascinating to see this thing that we all know very well now.
Right.
But throughout it, from the very beginning, the story is really about people who just want to do something that's exceptionally cool, and at the very beginning that not many people even believed was possible, or that wouldn't be possible for decades. And what they went through, especially in the early days, their commitment to it.
Yep.
Literally taking shitty jobs just to wait on the hope that there would be someone to fund what they're doing.
Yep.
And keeping this group of people together until eventually first George Lucas, then Steve Jobs, and on, that it happened. But very inspirational and always neat to relive the early days of technology as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
You know, the modern early days of technology. So that's number one.
Well, go ahead and do two, because I actually do have two.
Oh, sure.
Well, I'll do one, and then you do one, and then I'll do one.
Yeah, give and go.
My first recommends is the Star Wars Craft Book by our friend Bonnie Burton. She is our friend, but I would be recommending it anyway.
We
actually got them a number of weeks ago, and I kept meaning to put it in a recommends and then forgetting. It is exactly what it sounds like. Our friend Bonnie Burton works for Lucasfilm on their website, I believe. She's their web content person, if I remember correctly. And she's also a crafter. Speaking of, hey, how great is it that we were talking about crafts before? These are all the non-shitty crafts. Basically, she's got a whole book of various Star Wars-themed crafts, things like an R2-D2 dreidel that you can put together.
Yeah.
Or my favorite, and I don't remember their names, but the Cantina Band, you know, those dudes with the big round heads.
Yeah, Roundo and...
Roundo and Roundhead, Bunkus. Roundy Round.
Yes.
Anyway, you can make that band using pipe cleaners and wooden kitchen spoons.
Huh.
And it's this... And also, like, drinking straws. And it's the coolest thing you ever saw, and so easy and awesome. And some googly eyes. Of course, some googly eyes. Nothing's complete without googly eyes. But it's just this great book of crafts that, you know, kids can do, but also they're fun for adults. If I sound like such a commercial right now, but it's honest to God the truth. And everybody should own a copy, even if you never put together any of the crafts. I have never completed any of the crafts in this book yet, but it's just fun and cool to read through. So go find that Bonnie Burton, the Star Wars craft book. Go, Storm, number two.
Well, see, if maybe there is macrame in there, I don't know. But in the right hands, like, I can picture she would do an entire Mos Eisley out of macrame, and that would be kind of cool, you know.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of replicating things that you love or that you see. Model railroading is another example. Not as much a craft.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend number two. I imagine that most folks already know about it, but it's kind of rolling through my head a lot, so I have to share. They Might Be Giants, Join Us is out, their latest album, and I've been listening to them since, at the risk of sounding like one of those douchebags, you know, from Lincoln, from the early days, have tapes that have worn out over the years, and this latest is... them at their best, not that they're not ever at their best, but the sort of you have no idea where they're going to hit you from next, both melodically and just a sense of mystery to it, just surprising you constantly, but mostly for me the melodies that just get caught in your head. So that is my recommends number two.
And my last recommends, number two, just came over Skype while we were talking, which is why I only had one until a few minutes ago, by our friend Ethan Nicole, the artist behind Axe Cop, has a new webcomic starting tomorrow called Bearmageddon.
Yeah.
Spelled like it sounds. And that's all I'm going to say. Go to bearmageddon.com tomorrow, which is the... what is the date tomorrow? Tomorrow
third,
is going to be
August 3rd.
3rd. So August 3rd or beyond, if you're listening to this web podcast tune thing, go to bearmageddon.com, and I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I haven't seen it, but I trust that if Ethan is behind it, it is going to be awesome.
Well, I'm going to be douchey again.
Go ahead.
It's honestly one of the coolest things about getting to do the things we do is to see people's creative processes up close, to see what they're doing. Like, so often we say, we can't tell you, you know, it's because if we told, then we'd be jerks for telling before something was ready. But I did get to see some of the Bearmageddon sketches some time ago.
And did you?
Yes. Very, very excited to see it in its full fruition. And I just lost my note about the next thing that I had. Oh, there it is. Okay, this is off topic. This is a Twitter question. All right, sorry, I'm getting myself arranged. Are you still there, Paul?
Yeah, I am here.
Okay, I heard a little Skype-y-do thing and thought that you might have dropped. Because this is real, like ice cream.
That's right. Real like ice cream is yet another front runner, by the way.
I was honestly not trying for that.
No, that's where the good ones come from.
That's a good one, too. This is from Rich Swilinski. And he asks, what for you is the perfect photo bomb? And I saw this and thought about this earlier. Mm-hmm. So I have one in mind. Do anything come...
Well, there's a lot of elements that go into a photobomb. Mm-hmm. Two come to mind, and they're both the same kind. Mostly they involve stealth to a degree, mm-hmm. where it's not just some person jumping up and down in the background making a goofy face, but the angle is just right. One of them is one that you did on Adam Savage, and I can't remember who else, at one of the Woodstock signings, where all you can see is like your eyes through the crook of Adam's arm or between the two, whatever it was. I know we've posted it before, and that's a particularly excellent photobomb. And,
well,
and
also, I'm upside down. Also.
Yes, you're upside down. Yes, that was that. It obviously takes some effort. Like, that's the other thing for a photobomb, is it takes effort to make such a thing happen. The other one I actually just saw on Reddit the other day and reposted on Twitter. Of a guy who was proposing to his girlfriend out by a swimming pool, and there is a it's just, you know, the standard shot of him, the guy on his knee holding up the ring and the girlfriend with the shocked look on her face, and there is a guy, like, there's nobody else or anything in the background other than the pool, but there's one person whose head is he's in the pool and his head is right in between them, making just sort of a leering grin face, and it's just an outstanding photobomb.
What makes that great is that it was a moment of such significance.
Yes.
And that's another element is, for me, is that it can't be excised, or it would be very difficult to excise it. That is, that you can't just put it in Photoshop and zip, zip, take the head out. And also, that's brilliant, because there's no moment like that in life except for that.
Yep.
That moment of proposal. Granted, a lot of people get divorced, but most don't. And for that, you know, that's the moment that lives forever. It just becomes part of the narrative. So here for me, I totally agree with everything you said. Is the perfect photobomb.
Okay.
It would be on a grand scale. Oh, the other element for a perfect photobomb is that the perfect photobomb would never be discovered until the 1 second before the universe blew up forever, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely intentional, but you might have to, once you see it, you go, wow, wow. Like Adam Savage had one some time ago where he's in the back of this room and saw that someone was getting ready to take a picture, made the best dumbass face, and there it was. His head is pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
So the ultimate photobomb, let's say there's a couple, let's say it's a couple getting engaged for that kind of timeliness. And they decide whoever proposes to whomever is going to do it from the very top of the Golden Gate Bridge. All right? And they arrange it so that their friend with their awesome camera would catch it on mm-hmm. film.
Right.
So they're standing on the bridge. Dude takes a picture. I would be standing in San Francisco. And by some coincidence, I was looking through one of those binocular things, you know, looking at the bridge.
Right.
Happened to notice that this photo was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to be in just the right position. Made the dumbassest face or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And that years later, because digital technology is so awesome, they're looking through their pictures and here's this perfect picture. And someone happens to zoom in and there's my face. Doing something stupid.
I like that a lot.
So that's the perfect photobomb.
Yep. Well, there you have it.
There you have it. I don't have a lot else, much else, much.
No, nor do I. Let me take a little look down the Twitters here, see if there's anything particularly grabby.
Just a lot of cover band names.
Yeah, anymore. Yep. Perfect photobomb.
I guess we can be proud about that.
Yeah, I think so. Another not terribly taxing podcast.
Oh, I meant the photobomb, a joke, promulgation.
No, I gotcha. Yes. Yes, I see. Yes.
I'm feeling good about the podcast, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of... No, I'm not going to be a dick like that. Speaking of nothing, you know what's great?
What's great?
Nothing.
It's true.
Okay.
I have no idea what just happened.
I don't know. I was tap dancing away from something.
Let's see. We already talked about Bonnie as she asked us to. We will expect the check in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. How about... here's a question from Jennifer McCown. Asks us about... to talk about big stuff we missed out on. For example, she's watching Spinal Tap for the first time right now, and she's 34.
Yeah. Huh.
Anything spring to mind?
Like I did. Well, I'll say that there were a lot of movies that I didn't see until college.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly of the R-rated variety.
Yeah.
My parents were certainly not the type who would take us to an R-rated film. And even kind of discouraged it at home as well. To the point where even stuff like... I remember seeing, like, The Running Man, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. Just, like, really violent action films I didn't get to until later. But not exceptionally later. Not like I've gone my whole life without seeing The Running Man, which would be a tragedy.
Here's a thing. I have never read Catcher in the Rye. They never assigned it to my particular English classes in high school, and I never read it. And so I ask you, people of listener land, should I read Catcher in the Rye as a 41-year-old man in 2011 in America? Is there anything I'm going to get out of it, or do I have to be sort of a sullen teen?
Huh.
To properly appreciate that book, or is it just is the hype all horseshit and it's just not very good? I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm not judging. So tell me. I will. Maybe I'll put up a poll, and depending on the results of the poll, I will either read Catcher in the Rye or never read it.
You know what? I've never read it either.
Well, there you go. Let's put up a poll, and you guys tell us if we should read Catcher in the Rye or not, and if it's decided that we should, then we will read it and in a future podcast report on our findings.
Yeah, we'll start a book club. It'll be one episode.
Yeah,
you know, Oprah's out of the game now, right? Completely, right?
Yeah, that's
right. She's gone. She's gone, right?
Yep.
Someone needs to carry on book club.
We're going to make Paul and Storm's Oprah's book club?
Yeah, but we'll have to spell Oprah with an umlaut or something.
Yeah, Oprah.
Oprah.
Yeah, an umlaut over the H.
Or if not Catcher in the Rye, feel free to suggest other books. But
yeah.
There are a ton of books like that that were sort of the classic books. But I don't feel like I missed out. You know?
Yeah.
Like not something that's always been like, oh, I've been meaning to read Catcher in the Rye.
I think that's yeoman's work.
Yeah, I feel like a yeoman now.
Yeah. I feel like a yeoman now. That's a song title.
Can't be a shanty, though. That's too obvious.
No, that's been done. We are going to be, as has been mentioned, at PAX in Seattle on August 26th, 27th, 28th. Then the next weekend, Labor Day weekend, we are going to be at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
And both of those are going to be fun. We have a whole bunch of shows in the works for this fall. Nothing has landed kersplat onto the calendar officially yet. But
speaking of Atlanta and gigs.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. You're right. I forgot we do have a public gig, while we were down in Atlanta on Friday, the 2nd of September. We do a show at the Variety Playhouse along with Jonathan Colton and his band. It's his CD release party of his new CD, Artificial Heart, which is awesome.
Freaking excited. And the whole experience of that album is going to be something as well.
Yep.
So.
Speaking of being douchey, now I get to drop a little humble brag douche that we just today, Jonathan was soliciting our opinion. He's got a whole bunch of potential T-shirt designs to go with this new CD, and he sent us a pile of them to ask our opinion. And it's tough to decide. There's a lot of really good ones in there. So when you see his final decisions on which T-shirts he goes with, if you don't like them, it's our fault.
And I'm not going to go spoilery on this, but it's more than just a design. A lot of thought has been put into the entire concept, and it's going to be very exciting to see it roll out. So I can't wait.
Yay.
Other than that,
of course, Joko Cruise Crazy happening next February.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Berths are still available in pretty much every type of cabin that you could possibly want.
Most of them. Some of the less expensive cabins are actually running low or out on the ship entirely, not just in our allotment. But
So grab it before the next least expensive cabins
You can see all of the performers who have been confirmed. Just today we were able to officially announce that John Roderick is returning.
Yes.
Veteran of the last cruise and one of the highlights. I would think to say he's coming back to be a highlight yet again.
Oh, how can I forget that was another stunning, awesome moment at Woodstock.
Oh, yeah.
Was John Roderick when he sang The Commander Thinks Aloud. It was just the best type of kick in the head, you know, something not entirely different from everything else that was
there,
going on.
There are many different types of kicks in the head of varying qualities and degrees of enjoyment. This was the most enjoyable and best kind.
Yeah, because you didn't see it coming, and it flipped your mind around. It made it do a pretzel lunge. That's what it did. A pretzel lunge.
That's a phrase to end on, I think.
Well, except I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Well, we're gonna have a wing ding.
Go do things.